Hey, everyone. This is Brian Ross, Pastor of Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I've been wanting to make this video for a couple days now. Today's the first day of my break from school, and so I have a little bit of time. What I want to talk about is, if you can see on the header there, what I want to talk about is this issue that I've seen a few people posting about here recently regarding whether or not the King James position was originated by a Seventh-day Adventist named Bruce Wilkinson. So the reason I'm addressing this is I recently saw a video shared. That video was titled Bible Translation Issue Number 1, Origins and Impact of the King James Only is Only Heresy. And that was an interview that between Bob Ross and Doug Kudelik that was done at some time in the 1990s. And then recently on my wall, there's been some discussion about this topic. And so I watched the video. Pardon me. I watched the video, and I took some notes on it, and I just kind of wanted to go over a couple things regarding it. So I have different books here and some notes and stuff sitting on my desk that I just kind of want to talk about here, somewhat informally. So the fundamental assertion is that Bruce Wilkinson, who wrote Our Authorized Bible Vindicated, he wrote this book in the 1930s. The foreword in the copy that I have dates from June 1930. Wilkinson was a Seventh-day Adventist. He was with the Seventh-day Adventist school. And he wrote this book in 1930, Our King James Bible Vindicated. About, well, roughly 25 years later, J.J. Ray, James Jasper Ray, wrote a book in 1955 called God Only Wrote One Bible. And this book was at the beginning of the, in the middle of the 1950s, it was written at a time when many evangelical fundamental organizations were leaving the King James Bible in favor of modern versions that were available at that time. Now, the pace of that would just pick up through the rest of the 1950s and into the 1960s. Then, in 1970, David Otis Fuller, out of Wealthy Street Baptist Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan, he wrote a book called, or edited a book, I should say, called Which Bible? Okay? This book was very influential in the 70s and 80s as far as the King James Only movement is concerned. And what one of the things that Otis Fuller did do is he reproduces in Which Bible a big chunk of Our Authorized Bible Vindicated by Wilkinson. The problem is that he didn't tell anybody who Wilkinson was. And he clearly took steps to conceal Wilkinson's identity as a Seventh-day Adventist. So that information is true. Furthermore, Jasper James Ray, in the 1955 book, he also is going to advance certain things that were said by Wilkinson from 1930. Okay. For example, I have here an original copy of this book. This is an original from 1955, and I don't know how well you're going to be able to see this, but on this page, this is page 18, you can see that there's material here, and a lot of this material is citations from Ellen G. White, one of the Seventh-day Adventist prophetess or what have you, and Jasper James Ray is getting that from Wilkinson's book. So he's picking up on things that Wilkinson said and is moving them forward in his book in 1955. I have a newer copy of Jasper James Ray's book here. This one was done more recently, and if I go to that same page, you'll see that there is a blank spot where the information is just mystically not there. So, critics of the King James position have reason to be annoyed. Not everything that has been done in defense of the King James Bible has necessarily been on the up and up. It's all not necessarily been ethical. And then you fast forward from 1955 and Jasper James Ray to now 1970, and David Otis Fuller puts out his book, and he just conceals the footnotes and does other things to try to obscure the fact that this Wilkinson guy was a Seventh-day Adventist. And the reason he did that is because he knew that his audience, the fundamentalist Acts 2 Baptists, would not accept a premise that had first been put forth by Wilkinson. So that kind of funny business is all true. That is documentable. There's no doubt that those things happened. What I take exception to or with, however, is the idea that the Doug Kudelik and Gary Hudson and some of those men who are critical of the King James only position as such, they will take the things that are this sort of funny business and they want to filter all of that back to Wilkinson and say, see, King James onlyism is a cult. It originated with a Seventh-day Adventist, and so therefore we can just dismiss it and all their arguments, and none of them are valid or what have you, because they've traced it all back now to Wilkinson. The problem I have with that, and there are a few of them, is that that's just not true. Okay, that's what historians might call the wrong use of history. Okay, so let me just give you a couple of case in points. So this is a PDF cover sheet from a book that is available for free online. The name of this book is Which Version Revised. It's called Which Version Revised Standard or King James. And this is done by a guy named Philip Morrow, and its subtitle is called A Look at the Evidence. Well, the thing about this is this book dates from 1924. This is 7 years before Wilkinson writes his book. So the idea, and by the way, this book is a defense of the King James Bible and its underlying Greek text, the Textus Receptus, against the modern critical text of Westcott and Hort and the newer versions that were being translated from that. So Philip Morrow's book is done in 1924. So why is it then that Gary Hudson and Kudelik and these guys, they want to seize upon the Wilkinson book? It's because they want to have a sensational claim to try to disprove the King James position. And by saying, well, it originated with Wilkinson, now they can say, oh, well, guess what? It has a heretical, origin within Seventh-day Adventism. And this just isn't true. As the work from 1924 predating Wilkinson's by 7 years would attest. But more than that, it also obscures the fact that throughout history there have been a lot of English-speaking, Bible-believing people who took and understood their English authorized version to be the Word of God for English-speaking people, okay? Now, throughout time, this gets a little bit complicated because the modern King James-only movement, as it is known today, you could make a real historical argument that did not begin in earnest until the mid to late 1950s. Jasper James Ray writes his book in 1955 and 1958. Edward F. Hills is going to follow with the King James Version Defended in the 1960s. Peter Ruckman is going to begin writing on this topic in earnest. And then in the 70s, David Oldys Fuller is going to write his three books, Which Bible, Counterfeit or Genuine, and True and False. So there's a lot of things to sort of unravel. But to pin it on Wilkinson is unfair and it's unjust. And the reason that's being done is for a sensational argument. Frankly, I think King James onlyists do this too when they make a big deal about Westcott and Hort and their beliefs and this and that and say, see, this invalidates everything that they ever did. I think that the arguments need to be evaluated for the content of the arguments, not all this peripheral stuff. So doing some more research here, I've uncovered a few other things that predate the 1924 book by Morrow that would indicate that, hey, listen, Christian people, some famous Christian people, English in the English-speaking world, believed the King James was authoritative and carried just as much weight and authority as the originals themselves. The case in point here is the whole works of John Bunyan. John Bunyan is the author of Pilgrim's Progress, obviously, and he lived in the late 1600s. And in 1691, he says the following. This is recorded in a book called The Struggler, And it records an encounter that Bunyan had with a scholar, and it reads as follows, quote, it says, "As Mr. Bunyan was upon the road near Cambridge, there overtakes him a scholar that had observed him, a preacher, and said to him, 'How dare you preach, seeing you have not the original, being not a scholar?' Then said Mr. Bunyan, 'Have you the original?' 'Yes,' said the scholar. 'Nay, but,' said Mr. Bunyan, 'have you the very self-same original copies that were written by the penmen of the Scripture, prophets, and apostles?' 'No,' said the scholar, 'but we have the true copies of those originals.' 'How do you know that?' said Mr. Bunyan. 'How?' said the scholar. 'We believe that we have a true copy of the original.' Then said Mr. Bunyan, 'So do I believe our English Bible is a true copy of the original.' Then away rid the scholar." So this is from the 1690s, okay? And Bunyan clearly is of the opinion that what he has in front of him in English in the Authorized Version is sufficient to establish what God's Word is. So the idea that the Authorized Version was sufficient for the English-speaking people is not something that just originated in 1930 with this guy Wilkinson. This had been a long-established belief through a good portion of the English-speaking world that this was, in fact, the case. So I have other things here. The Complete Works of Bunyan. This also records an exchange between Bunyan and a scholar. It says, he said, I was ignorant and did not understand the Scriptures. For how, said he, can you understand them when you know not the original Greek? Then Bunyan says, to whom I said that if it was his opinion that none can understand the Scriptures but those that had the original Greek, etc., then but a very few of the poorest sort should be saved. This is harsh. Yet the Scripture saith that God hides things from the wise and the prudent and reveals them to babes and sucklings. So Bunyan was not of the opinion that you had to have access to the original autographs in order to have God's Word. Another example is from this guy's, the Reverend Henry Venn. From his life, he wrote a letter dated January 3rd, 1780, to a friend of his, in which he says the following. Now, I also put a quote or a post about this yesterday. He's disputing with this gentleman about whether or not one needs to be able to read the original Hebrew to be able to understand the Old Testament. And he says to him, quote, on page 532, it says, "Till this is done, which I have heard was attempted, I must conclude that the very substance of the Word of God, as truly in a translation as in the Hebrew Bible, and that every real Christian who now devoutly ponders on his English Bible has before his eyes the oracles of God, and no less hears his voice than if he could read the Hebrew and understand it as well as Isaiah himself." So, again, have King James-only advocates done some dishonest things and tried to advance their position? Absolutely they have, okay? In fact, I've said this before, and I'll probably say it 100 times over. If you were to press me to recommend one single book on this topic, I could not do it. I could not do it because, number one, you have anti-dispensational teaching that are found in these books. I couldn't do it based upon poor scholarship, not citing, not proper source citation, leaving things out, in some cases, flat-out plagiarism. This is a real problem, okay? It no doubt is, and Kudelik and Hudson are correct in pointing that out. But where I disagree with them is on the idea that all of this originated with the Seventh-day Adventist Wilkinson. It's just not true. You can establish a long chain of thought all the way back to the late 1600s, through the 1700s, into the 1800s, and into the early 1900s with guys like Philip Morrow in 1927 that are now having to dispute these issues, okay? So, I don't know, maybe this was too random and so forth and hard to follow. I hope that wasn't the case. But I did kind of want to put that out there. I have more things here that we could cover, but I think I've probably been talking long enough at this point. So I'm going to share a link to the video in the comments underneath that I am referring to, And if anyone has any other questions or comments or thoughts, you know, I'd be happy to have you leave them in the comments. I only want legitimate discussion, though. If you're not going to come honestly and have a conversation, then we don't really have anything to talk about. But if you're going to come armed with facts, textual, historical, or otherwise, then maybe we have something to discuss. Thank you.